This morning we read from Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. That chapter is there. We read about one of them. We read about Moses. Now I want to remind you this morning that Moses was born when the nation of Israel were slaves in Egypt. Moses was born when the law of the land, the law passed by Pharaoh, the edict from Pharaoh, that all Hebrew baby boys should be killed. He tried to get the midwives to kill them. They would not. And so he just passed a law and said, every Hebrew boy that's born, I want you to just throw him into the river and kill him. His parents, the Bible says, saw that he was a proper child, and they hid him as long as they could. And then they made an ark of bulrushes and put him in the river and left Miriam, his sister, there to watch him. Pharaoh's daughter found him when she came down to the river to bathe and had pity on him and decided to take him for her own son. Moses' sister, again, was watching, and with a great act of boldness, I think one of the greatest acts of boldness that's recorded in the Bible, this little slave girl went up to a princess of Egypt and said, would you like me to go get somebody to nurse him for you, to raise him for you? And the princess thought this was a good idea, and so Miriam went and got her own mother, Moses' mother, and Moses' mother was paid to care for Moses when he was a little baby. He got a little older, and he moved to the palace. He was raised as the grandson of Pharaoh. The part of the scripture we read from the book of Hebrews, he's now about 40 years old. He goes out to see an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he makes a choice. He makes a choice. And by the way, that's what life is. Life is not what we hope it turns out to be. Life consists of the choices that we make. That day when Moses saw that Egyptian beating up that Hebrew, he made a choice. He was raised an Egyptian. He enjoyed, because he was part of Pharaoh's family, part of the ruling family, he had position, he had power, he had riches, and he had privilege. His people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, had none of that. They were slaves. They had no rights, they had no power, they had no riches, they had no privilege. And yet Moses that day made a choice. He made a choice to step away from everything that was his as part of being raised an Egyptian. He made a choice to step away from all the privilege and all the power and all the rights and all the riches that he had as an Egyptian. And he chose to identify himself with his own people. He chose to side with God's people. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He endured, the Bible says in verse 27, as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, when we read this story, you know, we know Moses and we know everything that had happened in his life. And sometimes we forget where people are in the Bible when they make certain decisions. We think of them with their whole life in mind. And yet I want to remind you this morning, Moses had not yet, when he made this decision, been to the burning bush and heard God speak to him out of that burning bush. He had not yet heard the call of God for his life. He had not taken his rod and thrown it to the ground and saw it become a snake and then gone and picked it up by the tail and it turned back to a rod. He had not yet put his hand into his cloak and pulled it out and saw that it was full of leprosy and then put it back in and pull it back out and see it was healed again. He had not yet seen the plagues that God brought on Egypt. He had not yet seen Mount Sinai burn with fire from heaven. He had not yet heard that voice of God from Mount Sinai as he spoke the Ten Commandments to his people. He had not yet spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God himself. himself. He had not yet eaten bread from heaven. He had not yet drunk water from a rock. He had not yet seen a cloud by day or a fire by night. And when we think of Moses, we think of all those things that happened in his life. But when he chose to walk away from the riches of Egypt, when he chose to walk away from his adopted family, and when he chose to suffer the affliction with God's people, none of those things had happened. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. This morning, I speak to every person here. I want you to do the same thing. I want you to get a glimpse of the invisible ones this morning. I want you to see that some things that you cannot see with your physical eyes. You can only see these with eyes of faith. And I know I speak to two groups of people here this morning. I speak first of all to the unsaved. Those that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. This morning I ask you to make the same choice that Moses made. Because you see, I cannot show you heaven this morning. Oh, I wish I could. Kay and I were talking about it, and I know Brother Leonard mentioned it in Sunday school about how wonderful it would be if we could all go to heaven together. And Kay and I were talking just before the service. It'd be wonderful for us to go to heaven before this service is over. But I wish I could pull back the curtains of heaven for you this morning. I wish I could pull back the clouds in the sky, and you could look into heaven, and you can see the throne of God, and you can see God the Father, and you can see that one that stands there, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I wish you could walk the street of gold. I wish you could enjoy all that heaven has to offer. I wish you could see it this morning, but I can't show it to you. The Apostle Paul said he knew a man one time that went to heaven, and he didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body. I think it was he himself he was talking about, and he says, I can't describe it to you. It's unlawful for me to describe it to you, what he was talking about. He said, I don't know how to describe it to you. It's so wonderful. And I wish I could show you heaven this morning, but I can't. I can't. I wish I could show you hell this morning. I wish I could open up the earth and we could look into that pit, the bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not, where there's darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, that place of fire. I wish I could open up hell this morning and show you that there is one, but I cannot. Just like we cannot see heaven with our physical eyes, we cannot see hell with our physical eyes. But I guarantee you this morning that both of them exist. Both of them are a real place, just like this earth is a real place. And so I can't show you with your eyes this morning what awaits those that are saved and what awaits those that are lost. But to the unsaved this morning, I beg you, see the invisible. With eyes of faith, see those things that you cannot see with your physical eyes. I wish I could take you back in time and we could stand at the foot of Calvary. I wish we could stand at the foot of the cross when our Savior hung on that cross and paid for our sins. I wish we could be there and hear him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wish we could be there and hear him say, it is finished. But I can't. I can't show you that with your physical eyes, but could you get a glimpse of it this morning with your eyes of faith? Would you see the invisible? You see, you're here unsaved this morning. You are a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. It's not physical death as we know it, but spiritual death where we're separated from God. There's a penalty for that sin. God paid your penalty. He loved you so much that he paid the price of your sin. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commended, in Romans 5:8, God commendeth or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you need to make a choice this morning. Your choice is not made on what you can see. Your choice is made if you can get a glimpse of the invisible one this morning, the one that went to the cross and died for you, that waits in heaven for you, and that will prepare a place for you if you receive him. And that's the choice you need to make. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, received Jesus, the one that Angie sang about a moment ago, received the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you'll receive him this morning, you can have that promise of heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Some people say, well, I can't get saved. I'm going to miss too much of what the world has to offer. If I get saved, I can't have any fun anymore. If I get saved, I can't enjoy life anymore. Being a Christian is a bunch of do's and thou shalt nots. And I just don't want to get saved because I don't want to miss the excitement of this world. The scripture that we read a moment ago is true. It's true. Sin for a season is pleasurable. But when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. It does. Five, listen to this, 5 seconds in heaven, just 5 seconds in heaven, will far outweigh all the pleasures you may miss on earth by becoming a Christian. And by the way, you ain't going to miss much anyway. The people that I know in this world that have the most fun are Christians. But if you do miss something, 5 seconds in heaven will far outweigh whatever you miss. And 5 seconds in hell will far outweigh all the pleasures you enjoy if you don't become a Christian because of the pleasures of the world. Just 5 seconds in hell will far outweigh all those. And so I say to the unsaved this morning, would you see the invisible God? Would you see the invisible Christ? I can't show him to you with your eyes this morning. I can't show you heaven. I can't show you hell. But Moses, when he made the choice to suffer with the people of God. Yeah, I'm sure his real mom, when he was a little baby, when he was growing up, I don't know how long he stayed with her, but I'm sure she told him stories. I'm sure he heard the story of Adam and Eve, and he heard the story of Noah, and he heard the story of Joseph and Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. He heard all those stories. And yet he hadn't seen God yet. And yet he chose the invisible one. He chose the one that he could see all the things of Egypt. He could see the palace. He could see the riches. But he could not see God. And he chose God. And if you're here this morning and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I encourage you to do the same thing. You choose God this morning, and you choose God by choosing Jesus Christ. If you're saved, the second group I speak to is a group of people that have trusted Christ as their Savior. You've already seen the invisible one, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. This morning, I say 3 things to you. By faith, see again the invisible God. Choose him and his people and his things over the things of the world. You see, we still have choices to make. And this morning, I ask you, because you see the invisible God, choose his book. Choose the Bible over any other book. Choose the Bible and stay in the Bible. Choose his church over anything that keeps you away from it. Just decide right now, and I know I'm preaching to the church crowd, but you just decide, hey, I'm going to church. That's where God wants me to be. All this other stuff that tries to get my attention and keeps me away from church, I can do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm going to choose his church. Choose prayer. The world has so many people that want to help. They have so much advice that they want to give us. But I tell you what, we'd be a whole lot better off as Christians if we could see the invisible God and know that He still answers prayer. And there's nothing too small, nothing too big that He won't hear and help us with. Choose the eternal over the temporal. Choose the eternal. Again, we still have choices to make day by day. And the world is on one side. And the temporary things of the world are on one side. And the eternal things of God are on the other side. And we're still tempted. We still live in this world. We just need to always choose the things of God. It'll be worth it. When we get to heaven, it'll be worth it. We sometimes sing that song, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." So I say to Christians this morning, see the invisible God. You can't see Him anymore. We can't see Him any more than the lost people can. We can't open up the scroll of heaven and look into heaven and see God and see our Savior. But see the invisible God and choose His things. Number two, see the invisible you. The invisible you. We can look into a mirror and we can see our visible self. But look by faith and see the invisible you. The Christian that God wants you to be. The lover of others. The forgiver. The helper. The burden bearer, the friend, the encourager, the teacher. You see, I don't care how old you are this morning, every single one of us can say, and every single one of us should say, like Paul, "I haven't already attained. I haven't already arrived. I haven't already matured. I count not myself to have apprehended. I am not yet what God wants me to be." But by faith, I can look and I can see the invisible one. I can see the one that God wants me to be. And like Paul, I can say, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." See the invisible you. God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. He wants to make you completely into that vessel that He can use for His kingdom. I love that little song that the kids sing. "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, because He's still working on me." In my case, He's been working for 44 years. I've been saved since I was 16. And 44 and 16, well, you can figure out. He's still working on me. I haven't arrived. I haven't apprehended. I look in the mirror and I see what I am today. But by faith, I can open up and see the invisible Daryl Manning. I can see the one that God wants me to be. And I want to strive toward that mark. And then finally, I say to Christians, by faith, see the invisible others. Invisible others. With my eyes, I can see the visible you. I can see what sets before me. And you're my friends, and I love you, and I love to see you. But by faith, we not only need to see the visible others that are in our life, but we need to see the invisible others. Go back to the toddler room. Instead of just seeing a little 2 or 3-year-old little kid, see the invisible ones. The young man or the young lady
that little toddler will grow up to be. That Christian that serves Christ most of their life because mom and dad made a choice and brought them to church week after week after week. I'm talking to one of our little boys in Sunday school. He said, "I've been here my whole life." I said, "I know you have. I was there when you was born. And you've been here your whole life. Mom and dad made a choice. Mom and dad decided to raise that little boy in a church that preaches Jesus. He's been saved. He's been baptized. I look at him. I see a preacher. I see a missionary. I see a deacon. I see a trustee, a choir director, a choir member. I see what God can make that little boy and those little girls that are back in the toddler room. We need to see the invisible ones. When we look at teenagers, you know, sometimes the box that we have them in with the hole at the end, we just want to stuff up the hole. But we need to see the invisible one. We need that to see that teen get beyond their teen years. Get beyond their sometime rebellion. Get beyond sometime thinking that they know more than mom and dad knows. So they're not going to listen to mom and dad much. And we need to see them as a young adult. A young adult that has figured out dad and mom knew more than they forgot. Dad and mom were right when they gave them the counsel to do right and to stay right. We need to see them beyond the age where we have to pray for them every day just to keep them alive because we don't know what they're going to get into. And we need to see them married with children of their own, serving God. We need to see the young adult who still makes mistakes, who still doesn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And we need to see them as they mature and as they become adults that do right, that cross all the T's, that dot all the I's, that become leaders in our church, that carry the cause of Christ, not only here in this community, but around the world. We need to see what God can make them into being. And then we need to see our seniors. Yeah, maybe they complain about some things. And maybe they are not always happy. And maybe they're a little grouchy sometimes. But we need to see what they could be. And I'm not looking at anybody when I say that. I want to put my head down. But we need to see them as sweet, as kind, as people that have run the race and can be an encourager, an instructor to those that have a loving, loving spirit. We need to see what God can make them. By faith, he endured seeing him who is invisible. You know what we do? We spend too much time looking at what we can see and not enough time looking at what is invisible. We need to see the invisible God. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and Jesus Christ is the only one that can make the difference. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And he will. He will. Most of us are Christians here this morning. Don't take your eyes off God. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See what he wants to make you. See what he wants to make others. And by faith, claim it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it is to us. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that they would come in the next few moments and we could take the Bible and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Thank you for the ones that are going to get baptized this morning. And if there are others that are here that need to do that same thing, I pray they would come and get baptized this morning as well. And then Father, I just pray for the many, many Christians that are here. Help us to never take our eyes off of you. Keep them firmly fixed. Although we can't see you with our physical eyes, but we can see the one who is invisible.
with eyes of faith. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to do that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.